May I ask you to please turn with me this morning to the Old Testament book of Ezra. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalm. So if you work back from there, find that little book, the book of Ezra. And we're going to read from chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. I'm going to read the first 10 verses of this chapter. It is a chapter which introduces us to the man who the book is titled after, Ezra. Brings us to this man, the people of Israel. They have returned from captivity. They return to their own land. They are there to restore the temple and the worship there. And here we come and say we're introduced to this man himself, this man used by God in this work, the man of Ezra. We're going to begin at verse 1. God's word there, beginning in verse 1, says, "Now after these things in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra the son of Sariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shallum, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Merioth, the son of Zerariah, the son of Uzai, the son of Bukai, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his request, according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and of the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims, unto Jerusalem, in the 7th year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the 5th month, which was in the 7th year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the 5th month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Amen. We trust that God will bless the reading of his precious word this morning. We meet here this Lord's Day morning around God's word. I wonder, what preparation have we made? What preparations should have been made this morning before we came here? There's many. It's maybe not as much a tradition today as it was maybe years ago, even when I was a child, that the Sunday clothes would be laid out the night before. My shoes would have been polished on the Saturday night, and they would be shining. That's the tradition in many homes. You could say a preparation was made for the Sunday. Even today, I'm sure many of the ladies, and possibly some of the men, have the potatoes peeled and the meat in the oven. There's a preparation that has been made. However, when I ask you what preparations have been made, I'm not speaking of this type of preparation. See, those examples that I've given you of preparation, they refer really just to a preparation of the physical. The clothes that were laid out for the child the night before, there is a preparation for the outward appearance. And yes, that is important. How we come and how we come into the Lord's presence, it is important. And then there's the food which is spoken of. Again, surely we can say there is a great importance in food. We need physical sustenance. But the preparation I want us to consider this morning, it is a greater preparation than these. It's greater than any physical preparation. The preparation I want us to consider is a spiritual preparation. Have you made a spiritual preparation this morning before coming to God's house? Have you made a spiritual preparation each time you come to God's holy word? See, it is a preparation that I want you to consider with me this morning. It is a preparation of the heart. It is the heart that must be prepared. As you come to God's word and you study it in your home, you need a prepared heart. As you come to God's house to hear his word preached, again, you need a prepared heart. See, our verse that I want us to consider this morning is Ezra 7 and the verse 10. For here we have this man Ezra, this great servant of God, and it tells us there at the beginning of that verse, "For Ezra had prepared his heart." I wonder, could that be said about us this morning? Could that be said about any one of us? That our hearts, as we sit here this morning, that your hearts are prepared. Can it be said of me as I stand here? Is my heart prepared for the hearing of his word again? See, Ezra had a prepared heart. If any of us are to be taught at the Master's feet this morning, we too need hearts that are prepared. See, this word here that we have translated as prepared, it means more than simply to make provision for. You see, the examples I gave of the clothes being laid out and the food being ready, that's a preparation. That's a provision. The clothes is a provision for the outward appearance. The food is a provision for, as I say, our physical sustenance. But this word here, prepared, it means more than that. It means more than just a provision being made. This word here that's translated as provision, that literally means to establish, to fix, or to apply. So what's saying here in this verse that Ezra had applied his heart. He had fixed his heart. He had a firm resolution. His heart was applied to what would follow. His heart was fixed. His heart was applied to do something. What was it his heart was applied to do? Well, the remainder of verse 10 tells us. It says, for Ezra had applied his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. His heart was prepared to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. And these actions that are here contained in verse 10 of need of a prepared heart, I want us to consider them. And I want you to see with me, therefore, why we must prepare our hearts. Why we must prepare our hearts. That's simply what I want us to consider. Why must we have prepared hearts? Because I believe verse 10 explains to us exactly why we must have prepared hearts as we meet in the Lord's house. Why we must have prepared hearts when we sit at home and read God's word, when we get together as a family and read it. Every time we come to God's word, I want you to see why we must have prepared hearts. The first reason we must have a prepared heart is to seek the truth. We must have prepared hearts if we are to seek the truth. Verse 10 tells us, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Now, when it speaks here of the law of the Lord, that is not merely a reference to the Ten Commandments. The law of the Lord is not just the Ten Commandments, but this description here, the law of the Lord, it speaks of all of God's word. See, there's many titles to God's words given in the scripture. Here it is called the law of the Lord. Consider Psalm 119, a fascinating psalm, our longest psalm in scripture, and each section beginning there with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's a psalm which makes much reference to the scriptures. In fact, we could say every single verse of Psalm 119 makes reference to the word of God in some form or another. I ask you, take the time sometime, sit down, consider each verse. Look for that reference to God's word. For example, in verse 1, it is given the same title as here in Ezra 7:10. It's called the law of the Lord. In verse 2, it speaks of his testimonies. Again, a reference to the scripture. In verse 5, it speaks of his statutes. Again, another title for the word of God. The list could go on and on. We're not going to take the time this morning to go through all these titles of God's word given in Psalm 119, but we can see there's different titles given. There's other portions in God's word that gives titles to the scripture. Think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John 17 and the verse 17. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. That is a title for God's word. It is the truth. So in verse 10, when it says, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, we could say this morning, so I've already titled my point, that he prepared his heart to seek the truth. Are our hearts prepared to seek the truth? What does this seeking of the truth mean? Well, first of all, see with me as we consider that we must have prepared hearts to seek the truth. To seek implies to search. It implies to search. See, when Ezra sought the law of the Lord, as we've seen it, as their God's word, he wasn't engaging in some carefree, cursory exercise. But he's applying himself to the scriptures. He was searching the scriptures. He spent much time in them. The Hebrew word here that is translated seek, it implies the idea to frequent. It wasn't just something that he did once. It wasn't a matter of him sitting down and reading a few words and then going on about his business. But it was something that he engaged in over and over and over again. It was something that he repeatedly did. He continually searched the scriptures. May we realize today that to seek the scriptures is to search the scriptures. Is this not the great imperative that the Lord Jesus Christ gave in John 5:39? He said there, search the scriptures. Do we search the Scriptures? Would that be the way our reading of God's Word would be described? There is a man, there is a woman, there is a boy, there is a girl who searches the Scriptures. See, when something is of great value is lost, we will search for it with great fervor. If that thing is of importance to it, we'll continue to seek and to search for that thing until we find it. But the Scriptures should be of greater value to us than any physical thing we have in this world. And if they are of greater value than those things, surely we should be searching it with such fervor. See, we're not simply to give a few moments to read a few verses, to check a box off on a reading plan and say, I've done my bit for today. See, that's the way we approach Scripture often. To ease our conscience, to make ourselves feel okay, I've done enough. But may we realize that when we come to God's Word, we must seek the Scriptures. We must search them. We must dive into them. We must meditate upon them, even as that opening psalm we sang this morning. Meditate on God's Word day and night. May Scripture be our first thought. May it be our final thought of each day. Or to, as I say, dive into the Scriptures, dig into them, search them. Search out the great truths that are contained, the great treasures of worth that are contained in God's Word. The seeking of Scripture, it means to search the Scripture. Are we searching of Scripture? You see, if we are to search them, we must have a prepared heart. We can't just come in our own strength and do it for, well, that may last for a day or two, but again, we'll just go off and go back the same path that we're on. Before I move on further, considering this point any further of seeking the truth, I want to ask you here who are unsaved to do the same thing. If you are unsaved here this morning, I ask you, I exhort you to search the Scriptures. I've already quoted part of John 5:39 where the Lord Jesus Christ says, search the Scriptures. But that whole verse says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Here the Lord Jesus Christ exhorts the unbelieving hearers to search the Scriptures. Why? Because the Scriptures testify of him. The Scriptures reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. As we said already, God's Word is truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The searching of the Scriptures brings Christ to the searcher. And that's why I exhort you this morning, search the Scriptures, that you may see Christ as your only way of salvation. And see everyone here today. I exhort you to search the Scriptures for the very same reason, that you may find Christ. We've sang already more about Jesus, what I know. Do you want to know more about Jesus? Well, then search the Scriptures. Do you want a closer walk with God? Then search the Scriptures. Why? For we will find the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Christ was to be found from beginning to end. Christ is there. Search for him. Meditate upon his word. See, that should be the desire of each of our hearts, to know Christ. Do you want to know Christ better? More of Jesus would I know. Is that really your desire this morning? See, that was the desire of the Apostle Paul, Philippians 3:10. That's what he says there, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable unto his death. See, notice Paul doesn't say there simply that I may know about him. I'm not telling you to search the Scriptures to know about Jesus. It's not just a head knowledge, but it's to know him. It is a relationship. Paul wasn't just interested in filling his head, but he wanted to know his Savior. He wanted to be in a closer walk with God. See, if we are to do so, we must have a prepared heart. If your heart is prepared, you will see Christ in every book, in every chapter, in every line. As we consider this thought in Philippians, that Paul says that I may know him, as we consider seeking the truth, this brings to our mind that such seeking, it must have a spiritual grounding. See, it doesn't say Ezra prepared his mind. It doesn't say in that verse 10, Ezra had prepared his mind to seek the law of the Lord. It was his heart. It was a spiritual thing. It's not mere intellectual knowledge. So I believe that's one of the dangers in Bible college. You can become sort of programmed to look at things on an intellectual level, and you miss the wood for the trees. You miss Christ. There's no applying of the heart, simply the mind. Applying of a mind so you can get through an exam. May we never do that. But if we are to truly search the scriptures to seek the truth, we must have a prepared heart, for it is a spiritual thing. See, we don't need minds that are full of knowledge, but we need hearts that are full of truth. Therefore, it is something that we cannot do in our own strength. We need the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to truly study the Word of God. That is why we must ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit each time we come to His Word. We must set our hearts upon God's Word. And if we are to do so, we need the help of the Spirit. Colossians 3 verse 2, it says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. This phrase, your affections, it's really another way of speaking about the heart. Set your affections, it's saying, prepare your heart. Apply your heart to the things above. As if you have anything, to spiritual things. Matthew 6:21 reminds us, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do we apply our hearts to the seeking of truth? If we are to do so, we must prepare our hearts. You may ask me, well, how do we do that? Well, the answer is simple. What preparation to the heart must we make when coming to God's Word? See, God's Word, there's places where it's hard to understand. You may say, I can't understand. I can't see Christ in Scripture. I try, and it's just words, and I don't really understand what I'm reading. What does James 1:5 exhort us to do? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. All men. Each one of us, we should come to God. And as we come to the reading of His Word, the preparation of our heart is simply coming to God and asking Him, Lord, help me to understand Thy Word. Lord, I lack wisdom. Give wisdom to me. For isn't this what is promised? To giveth to all men liberty, and it shall. It's not it might, but there's a possibility. But if the man cometh, and he will acknowledge that he lacks wisdom, God will give that wisdom. Prepare your heart. Don't just rush into the reading of God's Word. Oh, it may sound simple what I'm saying, but I think it's the truth we need to keep being reminded of. When you come to God's Word, before you do, stop and pray. Stop and ask the Lord to give wisdom. And if you do so, He will give that wisdom. And you will see Christ. Christ will be found. And you will know Him. As we consider the need for a prepared heart, we've seen that we need a prepared heart to seek the truth. That we can't just come to God's Word and read it and expect to be blessed from it. We won't. We need a prepared heart. But see with me, secondly, that we must have a prepared heart if we are to be doers of the truth. See, the verse says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. I think many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, if we even go as far as step one and seek the truth, that's where we end. You see, if we're coming to God's Word and we're simply just reading it and there isn't a prepared heart, that it will be as far as it'll go. It'll be, as I say, a building up of knowledge in the mind. But if the heart isn't applied, there'll be no practical outliving of that. James 1:22. It says there, but being doers of the Word and not hearers only. How many times have we heard those words? How many times have we even prayed them ourselves? But yet they seem to mean nothing to us. For what are we? We are simply hearers of the Word and not doers. See, if you do not engage your heart in the seeking of the truth, if you do not ask for the Lord's help in the seeking of the truth, you will never be a doer of the truth. When we search the Scriptures for truth, we should be asking ourselves, again, simple application. We should be asking ourselves, when we are studying God's Word with a prepared heart, how do I apply this to my life? When we come to God's Word, we look for Christ. We must also look, how do I live this in the week ahead? See, we don't just come to God's word and read it as some kind of history book. Oh, we'll read about the people of Israel today and how they're brought out of the land of Egypt and it's a great historical account. We must ask, how do I apply that which I've read? How can I live this in my life ahead? This is God's word to us. This is God's way of communing with us. God instructing us how to live for him. Therefore, we should ask ourselves, how do I apply this in my life? You should be asking this even when you come into the Lord's house on a Sunday morning and you hear God's word preached. Your question should be, okay, how do I apply what this man is saying in the week ahead? Now, sometimes it might be harder for you than others, and that's not your fault. I think that could be the preacher's fault. For we often fail to simply preach in a way which gives the hearer an application for how they might live. See, the preacher can get up and he can present all the great theological terminology and he can come down from the pulpit and he can think, wow, I impressed the people today. They must be impressed with my great knowledge, but that man has failed miserably. If he does not present a way, present the scripture in a way that can be applied. See, the preacher must equip. That's why we're here. That's why you're here, not simply here to sit in a pew and fill an hour, but you're here to be equipped for service. You are members of the church. The church must be doers. You're here not simply to hear God's word, but you're here to hear God's word that you may do God's word. The model text of the Whitfield College of the Bible, the verse which the Lord used to bring me into the college 4 years ago, even before I knew it was the model text, that text, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, here's a verse that shows the clear link between the seeking and the doing. Study. Study to show thyself approved. Study. There is the seeking. Study. Seek the truth. Study God's word. Be diligent in the study. That's what that word study means. It means be diligent. There's the seeking. But why do we seek? Why do we be diligent in the study? That we may be workmen. We don't study that we simply sit around and do nothing. But we're to study to show ourselves approved, that we may be workmen, that we may be doers of the truth. Well, are we? Are we workmen? Are we studying in the first place? Well, may we study. May we seek that we may do. See, if our hearts are prepared and we seek the truth with hearts, if our hearts are prepared and if we seek God's word with such a prepared heart, our heart will burn within us to be doers. Earlier I made mention of Psalm 119 as we considered some of the different titles of Scripture. There's those different titles in every verse, but this psalm also presents to us one who was living according to the Word of God. Psalm 119 has been described by one commentator as a demonstration of the Word of God in the man of God. Verse 105 presents to us that the Word was a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path. The psalm presents one like Ezra who sought the truth and endeavored to do it. In verse 110, it says there, the psalmist says, I erred not from thy precepts. See, here's a man who knew the truth and therefore defected in what he didn't do. He didn't err from the truth. It wasn't simply what he would do, but it was also what he wouldn't do. He knew the truth so he would not stray from it. He was a doer of the truth. I believe verse 112 of Psalm 119 fits perfectly with our text in Ezra 7. Here the psalmist says, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I have inclined mine heart. What's he saying? He said, I have prepared my heart. I have applied my heart. It's the very same thing as Ezra had done. And why had he done it? That he may perform thy statutes, that he may do them. He sought the truth. He knew the truth, and therefore he did the truth. He was not just a hearer, but a doer. Here is a clear, prepared heart doing, and not just hearing the truth. Are you going to live for the Lord in the week that lies ahead? Do you realize it's a must, that It's something we must do. It's something that you fail to do, that you have been just engaging in coming in and going out unchanged and not living it. You say to me today, I must change. And I will change. And you're going to go with all your might and you're going to endeavor to do it. And if I tell you, if that's your resolution, to go out in your own strength and do something, it'll not last too long. It's like those New Year's resolutions that we make. I've made many resolutions, or New Year's resolutions, to lose weight, and you can all see how well that's gone. Well, we can make resolutions, but if we do them in our own strength, they will fail. Well, we may go for some time, but eventually we'll fall back to the old ways. But if you're serious about being a doer of God's word, if you're to be serious and you say, I must do more, you must have a prepared heart. You must have the help of the Holy Spirit. See, in Ezra 10 and the verse 12, the people realize that they must do more. They realize that they must do as what was being said. There in Ezra 10 and the verse 12, at the end of the verse it says, or we'll read the whole verse. For it says there, then all the congregation, see the great application to you there, the whole congregation, then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. See, this should not be the response to this congregation. Each Lord's Day as the word goes forth, as thou hast said, so must we do. Oh, I don't mean as what I've said, or as the preacher last week, or the preacher next week will say, but maybe in response to what God has said. As what God has said. May you say to God today, God, what thou hast said in your word, so must I do. But if you're to do so, as I said, you must have a prepared heart. You can't do it in your own strength. You need that empowerment from on high. If you are to live for the Lord, you need the help of the Lord. We must be filled with the Spirit. When's the last time you prayed for such? The Ephesians 5:18 exhorts us to that. It says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We need a continual infilling of the Holy Spirit. Again, the simple application. When have you asked? Have you asked the Lord today to fill you with His Spirit? If not, why not? Simple. But we don't do it. Say, Lord, fill me with Thy Spirit. Equip me for service. We must be filled with the Spirit. See, we can't do anything in our own strength. As I stand here in this pulpit, I can bear testimony of that even as I stand here today. I can't do anything in my own strength. If I proclaim this in my own strength, it will have no effect. If you do not have the Spirit working in you, you'll not hear. You'll not be a doer. The word might go to your ears, but it'll not go to the heart. Would you sit in the pew even now? May that be your prayer. Lord, fill me afresh with Thy Spirit. See, if you strive to be a doer of God's word, I want to give you some encouragement this morning. See, if you strive to be that doer of God's word, God has promised His presence with you. In Philippians 4 and verse 9, it says there, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So there's a verse which sums up everything we've considered so far. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard. There's the seeking of the truth. What does he say? Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. What does he tell them? He says, do. Don't be hearers, be doers also. But then what's the great promise at the end of the verse? If you be hearer and if you do, the God of peace shall be with you. God's with you to help you along the way. If you're serious this morning about simply not being a hearer but a doer of God's word, I ask you, make Psalm 86 and the verse 11 the prayer of your heart. For here the psalmist says, teach me thy way, O Lord. May that be your prayer. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Why did he say that? Well, the verse continues, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. He's saying, teach me. Teach me thy way. Teach me the truth that I may do thy truth. Simple prayer. But pray with sincerity, and the Lord will help. That's a prepared heart. But before we move on to a final point this morning, again, I want to speak to you if you are unsaved. See, I want you to realize that it is not enough to simply seek the truth. It's not enough for you to simply know the truth. So you may know all the truths of the Scripture concerning Christ. You may know that you're a sinner in need of salvation. You may know that you must confess and repent of your sin. You have possibly an understanding of all, and if not just many, of the salvation truths. You may know so much. But that's simply a head knowledge. A head knowledge will never save you. It's not enough for you to know that you must repent and believe, but you must do it. You must be a doer and not a hearer only. Therefore, I tell you, heed God's command, repent and believe. And child of God, hear it today. I tell you that there's little, or may I even go as far as saying there's no point. There's no point in seeking the truth if you're not going to do it. There's no point. For all you're doing is building up a head of knowledge. If you're to seek the truth and to do the truth, you must have a prepared heart. But see with me thirdly this morning that we must also have a prepared heart, not only to seek the truth and to do the truth, but to teach the truth. Well, maybe you're going to think you can switch off now and think, oh, that's not for me. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a preacher. That's not something for me to do. But each one of us are to be witnesses to the world. As I said already this morning, the purpose of your here, you're coming here, you ask to worship God. But you also come in to hear his word, that you may live it, that you may go out and teach others what you have learned. See, the closing words of verse 10 shows us this. It says, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. As we consider this teaching of truth, that he had a prepared heart that he could teach in Israel statutes and judgments. See, firstly with me at starting point. When was Ezra in the position to teach the truth? Well, it was only after he had sought the truth, and when he was doing the truth, and then, and only then, was he in a position to teach the truth. See, we come to the Lord's house to be instructed. We can go out unchanged. We go in, or we go through all the formalities. We can even go out and shake the hand of the man on the door and say, that was a great word. We go to our car, we get in, and like that, the message is forgotten. See, we must live the truth. We seek it. When we know it, we do it. And then once we're doing it, we're able to teach others. Even the doing of it is a teaching of the others. It's living an example before a fallen world. See, that is the church's duty, is to teach its members, that the members may go and teach others. There's, when we come to a church, we must realize that it's not just the elders, the ministers, and the missionaries, and children's workers, and Sunday school teachers. But each one of you, if you are a child of God, it is your duty to teach. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and teach great doctrine, to come out and say, I'm going to teach you today about imputed righteousness, or I'm going to teach you about these things. Well, that would be pointless. The unsaved would, well, what is that man talking about? It's just simply a sinner. Tell him what he knows of his Savior. Tell him that they need a Savior. It's all you must do. It's how to live. You're teaching them how to live before a righteous and holy God. See, this third point flows from the second. If you are to teach, you must first be a doer. And I apply this to myself before I apply it to anyone. As the saying goes, we must practice what we preach. See, this holds true for each one of us. Your actions speak louder than words. How can you expect to go and tell anyone that they're a sinner, that they're in need of salvation, if they're looking at you and saying, well, if that's what it's like to be a Christian, why would I listen to them? Before you can tell others how to live, you must make sure you're living the right life yourself. Above my desk at home, in my study, the words are on the wall. It says there, the best sermons are lived, not preached. Now, there is much truth in that. The best sermons are lived, not preach. You must live. You must practice what you preach. We must live a life before a fallen world. Say, there's much truth in those words, but I feel the fall a bit short. For I believe the best sermons are those that are lived and preached. Live the life. Until you're living a life, you can't tell others. You can't preach, you can't teach anyone. And if you are to teach anyone, you must have a prepared heart. It must be a heart that is touched by the Lord. Again, we cannot teach in our own strength. Again, I bear testimony of that. I can't teach anything without the help of the Lord. Pray therefore for a prepared heart. As you go out into the workplace, before you leave the house in the morning, say, Lord, help me to witness for thee today. Help me to simply say something. Help me to first live the life before them, and then help me to take those opportunities to speak of you. There's the starting point. The starting point is the doing of the truth. You must seek it then, do it, and then and only then are you in a position to teach others. But notice also, as we almost come to a close here, consider the substance of the teaching. What is it that you are to teach? As I've said already, I tell you that you must go and teach others. I've told you it's not great deep theological doctrines. It's not to go out and teach them things which they cannot understand. But Ezra had prepared heart. What was he to teach? Statutes and judgments. That's all I ask you to go and teach. You may ask me, well, what's that? Statute speaks of God's law. Judgment speaks of God's justice. So what is it, therefore, you must go and tell a dying world of? It's of God's law. It is to tell the dying world that there is a God who demands holiness. He demands obedience to his law. And if you fail to obey that law, there is God's judgment. Each man will be brought into judgment. It's appointed unto man once die. What comes next but judgment? So there's many who will say that, oh, we shouldn't preach the law. The law is too dictatorial. It's telling people what to do. That's not, we're in a day of grace. We don't need the law. But may we never forget the words of Galatians 3:24. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. See, we must teach the law to show sinners their need of Christ, that they may see that there's no way of escape if they neglect so great salvation. This isn't an easy task. It's hard at times. It's hard to witness, and yes, it may be hard, but it's something that each one of us must do. And if we are to do it, we must have a prepared heart. As we finish, let me return to my opening question. What preparations have you made today? Is your heart prepared to seek the truth? Is your heart prepared to do the truth? And is your heart prepared to teach the truth? An unsaved one. Let me ask you the very same question. What preparation have you made? Are you prepared for eternity? Consider eternity. Consider, are you prepared for today? For thou knowest not what a day we bring forth from each one of us. Prepare our hearts for the service. Oh, for God, let us